This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Marineville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Marineville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." This broadcast, this message, is not to replace coming to church and hearing the Word of God in person. It's not meant to replace you going to church. But I hope that those in the hospital, in nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person, can't go to church, could benefit from this message. Today, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 12, 1 through 14 in the King James Version of your Bible. It begins, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the 5th year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord." Let me say that if I mispronounce any of these words, just bear with me, friends. I'll just do the best I can. And it continues on, "because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen. And the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubans, the Sukums, and the Ethiopians. And they took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, 'Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hands of Shishak.' Whereupon the princes of Israel and the kings humbled themselves, and they said, 'The Lord is righteous.' And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, 'They have humbled themselves. Therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries.' So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again to the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naaman, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he had not prepared his heart to seek the Lord." Let's go back to verse 9, which says, "So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried also away the shields of gold which Solomon had made." Verse 10 said, "Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house." Instead of King Rehoboam trying to go back and get the shields of gold, he did a very unwise thing and made as a substitute shields of brass. Brass may glitter and brass may shine, brothers and sisters, but it is not gold. It is a poor substitute, and it is a poor, cheap imitation. Brass is not pure. Unlike gold, brass must be polished constantly because it tends to tarnish. Whereas gold is tempered and durable, brass was cheap and flimsy and far inferior. Rehoboam did like a lot of people do and settled for less and gave God less than his best. Now, before we come down too hard on King Rehoboam, we need to examine our own hearts and our own lives for just a moment. I suggest to you that we are often all guilty of giving God brass instead of our gold. How many of us have lost the gold of our lives to the enemy, to the world, to the flesh, and instead of reclaiming our lost treasures, we replace them with fake treasures? How many of us just give up on ever getting God's gold and settle for less, much less? In order for us to have the best, we must fight for it, defend it, or if our gold ever gets stolen, we must hastily go and reclaim it. I'm reminded of the story about David in Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 19. I may not read all of it, but it goes, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. How sad of a sight that must be. Come back home, and your family not be there. Continuing on, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And David, skipping on down, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken away, and David rescued his two wives. Oh, what a joyous time that would be to meet back up with that you had lost. Continuing on, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither great or small, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that had they had taken to them. David recovered all. David, in this story, could have settled for less. They could have said something like, well, they got our wives. Does anybody here know how to cook or clean house or do anything that the women that we had could do, sew or whatever? It looks like we're going to just have to make do, brothers. But they didn't do that. They went back and recovered. This is a lesson to us, not to make do, not to settle for less. God gives us his best, and he wants us in return to give him our best. I heard a story of the Indians, and I can't remember if it was the island of Manhattan or Long Island, but the Indians owned that property, and we looked at it, and the greedy white man wanted it. And we asked them, how much would you take for that land? The Indians had spied the beads and the jewelry that the American women wore, and they said, we'd like some of those beads. And they said, how much beads would you have for that island? And they made a deal with them, and they gave them $24 or $28 worth of beads for that island, either Manhattan or Long Island. You'd say, boy, the Indians got beat. That was a dumb move. Have you seen what we've traded? Have you realized what the enemy has taken from us? What we gave in return? What we got back for the gold that we gave the enemy we're against? We traded our gold, and the enemy has given us instead brass. I thought about another story I heard about a retired builder. He worked for a corporation for about 30 years. He was known in all the country that he built the best houses. He used the best materials and the best labor. Everybody knew of the quality of his work. He told the corporation he wanted to retire after 30 years, and they said, well, we won't have one more request. We want you to build one more house. But he was ready to go. He didn't want to build one more house. And he tried to get out of it, but they insisted. And he said, okay, I'm going to build this one more house for you, and then I'm leaving the company. So he got the house completed. They gave him a retirement party, banquet, or whatever, and they honored him. They asked him to go to the podium and say a few words, and he did. When he started to step back down off the podium, the head of the company met him and extended his hand and placed in his hand a set of keys. And he said, "You know that house that you built at the last?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "We're going to give that to you." Don't you know, friend, that he wished he had built a better house? When you make a withdrawal, it's due to the deposit you make. If you like a better withdrawal, make a better deposit. So if you'd like better quality stuff, things from the Lord, deposit better quality things. The problem with Rehoboam is that he seems to be saying, "Thanks for bringing me this far, Lord. I think I can handle it from here." I had a friend that was about out of gas. He had to climb a little hill, but he knew that if he got on top of that hill, that there was a hill going down. And he prayed, "Lord, let me get to the top of the hill," for there was a service station down at the bottom. And the Lord let him get to the top of the hill, and he sighed a sigh of relief, and he said, "Lord, I think I can make it now." Just then the car ran out of gas, and it stopped him on a dime. Don't ever think that you can make it part of the way on your own. You need God for the whole trip, the whole journey. Watching Rehoboam reminds me of watching a schizophrenic squirrel going here and there. In verse 1, he walks away from the Lord. In verse 6, he repents. In verse 12, he humbles himself. In verse 14, we're told that he did evil. This is a picture of a life that is up and down, in and out, hot and cold, on and off. I call these kind of people yo-yo Christians, people who do not have a clear direction or focus in their life. They cannot give God their very best. Titus 2:6 says, "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Verse 7 says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Some people, the only predictability about them is that they're unpredictable. If God wanted to use you, does he know where to find you? Would someone have to look for you very hard, because you could be here, there, or anywhere? God is looking for ability, availability in our lives, yours and mine. God is looking for people who are tired of the roller coaster, who want to live a stable, focused life for his glory. Look at your life right now. Is it stable and constant, or is it filled with starts, stops, reversals, and etc.? Does God have your very best, or is it a one step forward and two steps backwards? Psalms 37, 23, 30, 25 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." We do good. God's got our steps ordered. A good man's steps, God orders. We do good and we take one step up or one step higher. And when we do not well, we're ordered to take two steps down, two steps backward. We help people and God says, "Take a step up higher." But soon we talk about people and God says, "Take two steps downward." Too many live in a compromise world. We go up steps. And I should have told you, we go up steps seemingly, but we go down. Up by steps and down by elevators. Too many live in a compromise, live in compromise instead of living committed lives. When we run with the world, live like the world, talk, walk, and act like the world, dress like the world, seek entertainment in the world, etc., I feel like we're offering God brass instead of gold. When we get satisfied with the substitute instead of the genuine, and accept the substitutes in the world instead of God's presence and power in our churches, I feel like we're living a compromised life. To me, that is like giving brass for gold. When we offer up excuses instead of obedience, then we're offering God brass in place of gold. We're offering God less than our best. How would your wife feel instead of a gold wedding band, you had offered her a cubic zirconium? Are your treasures for sale? I want to read a little bit in 1 Kings 21, verse 1 through 17. It says, "And it came to pass after all these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs." and I will give thee a better vineyard than that, if it seemeth good to thee. I will give thee the worth of money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. So Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Friends, do we hang on to the inheritance of our fathers, the traditions and the teachings that we have from them, from our fathers, or are we easily to give them up? But Jezebel, it says, continuing on, his wife came to him and says, why is their spirit so sad and why hath they eaten no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And just to go ahead and tell you the rest of it, they plotted against Naboth, set up people to tell lies about him, and that he had blasphemed. And they took him out and stoned him. And they said that Naboth had blasphemed God and the king. And they took him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones. And Naboth died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is dead. Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. I submit to you in conclusion, brothers and sisters, that some things are just not for sale. Is there things in your life that's not for sale? Is there things that are so important to you and so important that you pass it on down to your children that you would be willing to die for? When you're going to a court case, a lot of times they'll give people opportunity to settle. Sometimes someone refuses to settle no matter what the trouble, no matter what the cost. It's tragic when we always see around us all the time people settling for less. People have just made do with their life. We need to run with people that wouldn't take no for an answer. Thought about the story of the man that had the palsy that was paralyzed, and the four men were taking him to Jesus. They found the house full and couldn't get in, but they didn't take the man back home, but instead took the roof off of the place to get the man down to Jesus. When we get people to Jesus, then it's up to them and Jesus, but at least we need to get them down there to them. I want some tear-off-the-roof people on my team. I want some people on my team that just won't settle for less. How about you? If you settle for less, it's your own fault. The greatest human temptation, one of them, is to settle for too little. Never settle on a life you don't want when God is trying to give you a better life. 10 years from now, make sure that you can say you chose your life, not that you settled for it. When you refuse to settle for less, then the best tends to track you down. Good is the enemy of great. I heard a story about a little girl who was watching her mother prepare fish for dinner. Her mother cut the head off and tail off the fish and placed it into a baking pan. The little girl asked her mother why she cut the head and tail off the fish. Her mother thought for a while and then said, I've always done it that way. That's how my grandmother did it. Not satisfied with the answer, the little girl went to visit her grandmother to find out why she cut the head and the tail off the fish before baking it. Grandmother thought for a while and replied, I don't know. My mother always did it that way. So the little girl and the grandmother went to visit great-grandmother to find out if she knew the answer. Great-grandmother thought for a while and said, because my baking pan was too small for the fish to fit in, so I had to cut it down. How much more trouble would it have been just to buy a larger pan instead of settling for less fish? How many times have we compromised or settled and went after the smaller fish in life when it would have not required much more just to have made room for the bigger? Make up your mind today not to settle for less. I thought about Elijah and Elijah. Elijah told Elijah that if he saw him go up in the chariot of fire, that he could have what he wanted. Elijah said he wanted a double portion of Elijah's blessing. And at the end, he saw him go up and he got the double portion. What if Elijah had told Elijah, I've been working for you for 10 years. I'd like a vacation. Or don't you think it's about time for me to get a raise? No, he shot for the moon. Elijah didn't get on to Elijah. Elijah. Their names are so similar, forgive me. But anyway, Elijah didn't tell Elijah, man, you ain't never going to be half the man I am. And now you're asking to have double my portion. I thought about the blind man that was at the side of the road. He was crying out to Jesus, and Jesus says, what would you have me to do? That's the question he always asked people. What would you have me to do? And the blind man said, that I might receive my sight. God wants us to tell him what we want. He wants us to have bold prayers. He said, approach the throne of grace boldly that you may find grace in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. God wants us to tell him what we want. He don't want us to say, Lord, if it be your will, I want enough food to get by. Instead, I say, Lord, I want enough food to get by and to help place some on someone else's table. Ask bold prayers. God is expecting that. My prayer today is, as it always is at every Sunday, at every broadcast, is that we can all make it. I hope that God will wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email me, DaleCantrell2@gmail.com. That's Dale Cantrell, DaleCantrell, all in lowercase, the number 2@gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, but any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Meridianville area but would still be interested in attending the service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will get you to the nearest church location to where you're at. Also, friends, if you want to come and visit us at Meridianville, we'd be so happy to see you. Just come in, stay with us, at least stay till the singing's through. And then if you don't want to stay for the preaching, the message, or whatever, just ease on out the back, and we won't get hurt at you, friend. We will be so glad that you come. And we'll also try to make you feel so good and so welcome. Just try us and see if we don't do that. We thank you again. May God wonderfully bless you. It's our prayer.